Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the farm stand here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I don't know how this came up, but a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about growing tomatoes.
You know, I was, in fact, and I was lamenting, I think, the amount of money I spent growing my own tomatoes this year, because it just started to run into some dough.
Yeah, well, you said that when all was said and done, it worked out to $11 a tomato.
Well, that was my calculation. I mean, you got the plants, right?
Yeah.
You got the fertilizer.
Yeah.
The raised bed.
Yeah.
The deer fence.
Yeah.
The home composting kit. I mean, it starts to grow. It starts to snowball.
Well, we got a bunch of mail from angry home tomato growers.
Oh, geez. You know, you don't want to ever tick off people with, like, scythes and pitchforks.
No, you don't. Here's one from Tim Rawlings from Cody, Wyoming.
Oh, go ahead. Tim says, I'm not going to like this.
Here's what Tim says. Come on. I find it difficult to believe that the cost of each tomato you grew is $11.
It was.
That sounds way low to me.
Oh, really? Well, I may have left out a few things. I guess,
Tim,
you know.
Tim says, so far my expenses are a Bobcat 863 to clear the plot. $27,000.
Oh, yeah. He got the stripped down one for that money.
A dump trailer to haul in manure. $7,000. And 10 tomato plants at $6 a piece. So far, I have gotten two beauties. Four more looking hopeful. At this point, my beefsteaks are $14,000 a piece.
I'll take two. Sounds like a good deal. All right, look, I can
done
see.
For.
My estimate may have been off by a factor of, what is that, like 1,300.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car or your tomatoes, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Malcolm, and I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hi, Malcolm. Have you ever grown any tomatoes?
I don't. I'm smart enough to know not to do that.
Well, it's taken me many years, and I'm starting to get the message. What's up, Malcolm?
I have a 2000 Mercedes E320 wagon, which is having some steering problems. I'm not really having trouble steering, but the noise that's coming from the steering wheel is becoming more and more undignified.
And what kind of noise is that?
It's sort of a la 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 la.
Oh, how nice. And when does this happen?
Well, a little over a month ago, it started being a little hesitant when I would really make sharp turns either to the left or to the right. And took it to the dealer, and they gave me my cappuccino and went in and came out in 10 minutes and said, oh, you just needed the power steering fluid topped off. Everything should be fine.
Uh-huh.
But it's only gotten worse since then, and the noise is getting louder and louder. So anytime I parallel park, it becomes quite embarrassing.
Right, so the slower you're going, especially if you stop, that's when you get the most noise.
Yeah, and I checked the steering fluid levels, and everything is fine.
When you took the car to them that day, was it making the noise even as you drove up to their door?
It was.
It was. And then when you left, after they gave you the cappuccino and the fluid, and the bill for $88 or whatever.
Oh, it was more than that.
It was more than that. Was it still making the noise?
It was, but knowing very little about cars, I thought, well, maybe it just takes time for the fluid to kick in.
That's
awfully accommodating of you. I wish we could get more customers like you.
I'm the ideal customer.
Yeah, it takes time.
I went in there with a problem. I still have the problem, and it only cost me $300.
but the explanation is it takes time for the car to get acclimated to the new fluid.
Yeah.
But the coffee was good.
The coffee was good. Well, that's good.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it could be something as simple as a loose belt. Okay?
And if
the belt is loose, it'll make the kind of noise you described. When you turn the wheel when the car is not moving, you're asking the power steering pump to do the greatest amount of work. So if the belt is loose, it's going to slip on the pulley of the power steering pump and make this.
Wait a minute. Did you called us instead of going back to the guys to whom you gave money? and they told you it was fixed? You didn't go back to them?
Well,
but you decided to call us instead?
He's going to go back to them.
I'm trying to save money. I figure I'm right down the road from you. I can buy you a coffee and you can tell me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my brother will be happy to do that for you anytime you find him in Harvard Square.
But, you're in Cambridge. You can buy me a coffee anytime.
Well, I see you around all the time.
Oh, you usually cross the street when you see him, right? That's what I do. But look, I think you have something as simple as a loose belt, and it may be, in fact, when they tested it out in the shop, you know, once the engine heats up and everything starts moving, the belt can actually tighten up because it'll shrink a little bit as it gets hotter. So it may have been not making a whole bunch of noise unless they turned it all the way. Or maybe they didn't even bother. They said, oh, I think he's low on fluid. It's an old car. It's 9 years old, for God's sakes. It's ready for the scrap heap, they must have thought.
It only has 40,000 miles on it.
Well, they don't care. It's 9 years old. It's ready for the junk pile, you know. Should have traded it in for the clunkers program. You missed your opportunity, Malcolm. But anyway, you may need something as simple as a belt tensioner or a new belt.
Okay.
And if the car is 9 years old, but it has only 40,000 miles, it's very likely that the belt is old and cracked.
Okay.
So I would go back to them, suggest to them that they put a new belt on there, and I bet you that's going to fix it.
Okay.
Good luck, and get yourself another cappuccino while you're there. See you later, man.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny from Phoenix.
Hi, Jenny.
What's going on?
I have a 2001 Ford Focus, and whenever I've noticed in the past couple months, when I go to start it in the morning after it's been sitting for about an eight-hour period, not necessarily the morning, too, also when I get home from when I leave for work, it sounds like it's going to stall. It goes, and I have to put my foot on the gas pedal.
Wait, that didn't sound like it was going to stall.
Oh, it starts up, but it surges?
Yes, it starts up.
Oh, okay.
It starts, and I guess surge is probably the best way to say it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of goes, vroom, and then it goes like it's going to peter out.
Gotcha.
And then I have to put my foot on the gas to make it sound even.
Yeah.
And then when I put my foot on the gas, the RPMs don't go up.
They don't, eh?
No.
So no matter what.
And then what happens?
When I take my foot off the gas and it makes a steady, even tone, then I drive and it's fine. But then I notice, too, when I get it up on the freeway, once it gets past, like, 65 miles an hour, it starts doing that a little bit, too. It goes, and it almost feels like it's going to give out on me.
You know why? Because it's going to give out on you.
So everything's as it should be.
So thanks for the vote of confidence.
So how long has this been going on?
A couple months.
A couple of months.
And it's not like it's cold here. I mean, I live in Phoenix, for crying out loud, in the meantime.
So you haven't taken this to anyone to get it looked at? You've decided to live with it?
Pretty much.
Well, because it never gives up.
No, it's never actually quit on me.
Right.
Tell us again what it does at high speed. I mean, how fast do you have to be going, and what specifically do you feel like at 50 or 60 miles an hour?
Well, I notice when I get it above 65, it just feels like it's going to shut down on me right in the middle of the freeway. It starts doing that whole vroom thing again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What about if you start it up and it starts doing what it does, and you go down just a regular street and where there are traffic lights and stuff like that? Then what does it do?
I've been at stoplights and felt like it was going to stall.
Because it was going,
I'm like, please don't stall. Please don't stall. Please don't stall.
I got you. Okay.
And yet, in spite of all your angst about this, you have not taken it in to have someone look at it.
I work three jobs. I barely have enough time to walk my dog.
I was going to suggest that you had a lot on your plate.
I do.
But think how much more you're going to have on your plate when the thing leaves you stranded someplace. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't take their cars in for service because they do have so much to do, and they can't think about arranging alternative transportation. But if you went to the dealer and they said, oh, we have a car that you can use for the day.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Would that do it for you?
Yeah, you're keeping it simple, yes.
Yeah. So you could call the dealership or your regular repair shop and say, look, I need my car. I need a car for today. Could you take my car and fix it? I mean, it could be something relatively simple. It could be a dirty throttle, for example. Back in the old days, you know, if you had a carbureted car, I'd say, well, take it out and blow out the carbon. But in fact, it may be that just your throttle is carboned up, and it could cause exactly this situation to occur. Mm-hmm. And it
doesn't sound like something terribly serious.
No, it doesn't. Okay. It could be a small vacuum leak that's causing it too. You know, okay. But it sounds like it could be something as simple as cleaning the throttle.
Okay.
So I think, but in order to get it cleaned, I'm pretty sure you're going to have to take it someplace. So you need to do that. I'm not so sure it's eventually going to lead to the car breaking down, but it's going to be very stressful, and before long, your hair's going to start falling out.
And, yeah.
And you're not going to know why, but this is the reason, because this is gnawing away at you a little every day.
Yeah, and it's not going to fix itself.
Hoping for that.
Yeah, I mean, if you just wait, it's not going to get better.
And they can look up the service bulletins on it. Maybe there's a service bulletin on this 01 Focus that says, oh, yeah, there's a dirty throttle condition.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Causes, yeah, but you're not going to do that.
I'm going to do it.
No, okay. No, she is going to do it.
Jenny, we're calling you tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to check up on you.
If you haven't done it,
if you haven't done it tomorrow, we're going to call you the next day. We're calling you. We're going to be more of a pain in the neck than your car is.
Please do, because I'll probably need a reminder.
And then we're going to call your mother and have her call every day.
Please don't do that.
see you later.
Bye, guys. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. I guess there's always that hope.
Yeah, that it's going to just go away.
Yeah, that's what every week when you show up, that's my hope. Maybe you'll go away one of these weeks. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Shane Dell from Ottawa, Canada.
What's your first name again?
Shane Dell.
How do you spell it?
It's S-H-A-I-N as in Nancy, D David, E-L.
Shane Dell.
Yep.
What's going on?
Okay, so I drive a 94 Astro, and I am looking to take a road trip with my family. That's my husband and our 8 kids. From Ottawa to St. Paul, Minnesota, and we were looking for some ideas of what would be a good vehicle for us.
Oh, you don't want to drive the Astro?
Well, the Astro has enough seat belts for everybody, but it's kind of cozy for a 23-hour trip.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest a Greyhound bus.
Wait, how many kids did you...
Eight kids?
Did you say 8 kids?
8 kids, that's right.
So there are 10 of you.
Uh-huh.
No in-laws or anything?
Oh, just us. No animals, no in-laws, no outlaws.
Oh, you guys need a few dogs, or at the very least, or at least one mother-in-law on this trip to make it memorable. Oh, my God. So 10 of you.
That's right. We thought it would create some family bonding time if we all went together.
It would be kind of fun. So when are you planning to, you're planning this for the dead of winter?
Well, I think we'll wait till it thaws out a little bit.
Oh,
maybe.
No.
July.
No, I would do it. I'd do it right maybe in February.
No. No.
Get lost on the highway in some snow paths.
And we don't want the windows closed all the time.
Right. Might be a better idea because the air conditioning doesn't work. Oh. So.
Well, so you're clearly not going to take this thing.
Right.
And what else is out there that can reasonably hold 10 people?
With our luggage.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I've always wanted to do.
Okay.
And I know this is a nutso idea, and that's probably why I've wanted to do it.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I've always wanted to get one of those old school buses.
Oh.
The big ones? The really big ones?
Not the real big ones. They make them in all different sizes, but maybe like a nice, you know, like a 20-seater.
Okay.
Or maybe a 30-seater. I don't know.
20's plenty.
20's plenty, but you'd want to take out most of the seats and put in real seats.
Okay.
You know, because they don't have seat belts in those school buses. At least most of the older ones don't.
Oh, so we would have to install seat belts then because we wouldn't be allowed to travel with our kids.
You'd have to install seats and the appropriate shoulder harness seat belts. But you can buy seats that have the seat belts all built in.
Where do you pick up a school bus?
Well, I don't know, you better get on it right away if you're planning this trip for July.
Right.
How old is the oldest kid?
He's 16.
He's 16. You wait another couple of years, he's going to run away and join the circus. So now you're down to 9.
Well, he's already asking to drive, but we're holding a little bit longer. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they're probably something like the Dodge Sprinter might have 4 rows of seats.
Oh, really?
I think you might be able to get it with the tour bus package.
Okay.
So you might be able to get something like that. And that's actually a pretty good vehicle. It has a 6-cylinder diesel engine. It gets great mileage.
Okay.
You know, it should have enough room for the kids and the luggage. And you know, a few in-laws and maybe even a dog.
Okay, so if we bring anyone back with us, we can stick them in there too.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Who knows? Right. You may have a couple of new family members on the way back.
Well, we're going to visit the family from out west, so we, you know.
Is this like a family reunion that's going to take place in July?
Well, you see, my husband is from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we've never really taken the kids there, so we want to take them back to see his old home stomping grounds and, you know, where he was born and all the things that he talks about.
Oh, yeah.
To see if they really do exist.
Exactly. Yeah. Take you to the little neighborhood store that he used to go to and all those. It'll be fun.
Exactly.
So that's good for the first hour. Then what are you going to do?
Well, it's going to take us a long time to get there, so we'll visit some other relatives along the way.
How young is the youngest one?
19 months.
Wow, you get going.
You are gluttons for punishment.
So,
boy, oh boy.
Are you done, you think?
Well, we'll see what. We'll see.
Really? Really? So, they may, so we're just trying to think about the future. That's why I like the school bus, because you have to allow for the possibility of an expanded family here.
Well, you know, when they start coming home with their wives and their kids, we'll be able to pack them
all. Yeah, listen, you have to just buy everyone a Greyhound bus ticket.
Right.
That may be the best plan of all, so think about that.
Okay, but, well, we'll try out the Sprinter idea.
If you're not averse to buying a new vehicle, you may find out that this Sprinter is just the thing for you guys.
Okay, well, thank you.
Good luck. Enjoy your trip.
We'll take that lead. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
All right, look, before we answer last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
I have to admit, I have no idea what the puzzler was last week.
You know, that comes as a great shock to me.
I'm sure it does.
This has never happened before.
I can't remember the last time this has happened.
Now that I believe. Anyway, the puzzler was about a guy suffering a heart attack and how he managed to save himself.
Oh.
And we'll have the answer along with more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
And even though bears put another X through their days until hibernation calendar, whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yes, this was a great puzzler.
Well, I don't know if it was great, but it was.
I thought so.
It was at least mediocre, which is all I was shooting for.
Hey.
This old guy is driving.
Only the mediocre can always be at their best.
This old guy is driving home late at night. He's on his way home from vacation. He's been out of town for a while. And here he is bebopping along the highway. And he's still some considerable distance from home, and he suddenly feels himself having a heart attack. He says, oh, my God, it's the big one. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. So thinking quickly, he takes the first available exit off the highway, knowing not where it would take him. And as luck would have it, he winds up in a residential neighborhood. Now, it's very late at night. He pulls over to the side of the road behind some parked cars, and he's fading fast. But he has the presence of mind to pull out his cell phone and call 911.
Mm.
Of course, his car is completely stopped before he makes the call. Otherwise,
we'd kill him.
Right?
Exactly.
And he says to the dispatcher, help, I'm having a heart attack. She says, where are you? He says, how the hell should I know? She asks, what exit do you take? I don't remember. Were you going north, south, east? I don't remember any of that. Can you tell me what street you're on? I'm in the middle of the block. I'm parked. I don't see any street signs, and I can't move. I'm fading fast. She says, well, nice knowing you. She says, no, I've
got
it.
You're done for.
You're in a residential neighborhood. Start blowing your horn and someone will come out of a house. So he sits there and honks the horn. Nothing. She says, can you possibly drive your car to the intersection and give me the names of the streets? He says, I can't do it. Mm. When all hope seems lost, she asks him to do one more thing. Mm. Minutes later, an ambulance is on its way there and saves his life. Wow. And the question is, what did she ask him to do? Now, this isn't 100% guaranteed that it's going to work, but it's the only thing that would work.
Yeah.
And what she asked him to do was to give her the plate number of the car that he's parked behind. Figuring that whoever car that is lives
right there. It's a residential neighborhood, and it's late at night. I remember you said
that. All the hints are there, man. The thing was rife with hints. So who's our winner, man?
Wow, that's good. Our winner this week is Kevin Croak from St. Louis, Missouri. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Kevin's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which Kevin can get himself a set of our brand new Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Now, if you don't know what these are the reusable bags that you always forget to bring back to the supermarket and, what, reuse.
Yeah, except these have our images on them, so you won't forget these.
No, you'll turn them inside out, I bet.
You might. They do say Car Talk on them. That is embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, fortunately, they also say, my other shopping bag is from a good NPR show.
That helps. Well, congratulations, Kevin. Those reusable shopping bags are yours if you want them.
And if your name's not Kevin and you didn't win this week, stay tuned because you'll have another chance a little later in the show.
So what should we do now?
Well, how about this? How about a phone call?
We have that technology.
Yes, watch and learn, Grasshopper. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Jimmy from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey, Jimmy from Indianapolis. What's going on?
I have a 1995 Chevy Suburban 1500.
Uh-huh.
And I've been having problems with it stopping on me in traffic and on the highway. And one incident on the highway when it bogged down on me, as if the fuel pump wasn't delivering.
Uh-huh.
Or as if I had turned on a Jake brake.
Uh-huh.
Wait, you were driving along at what speed?
I was on the interstate, so I was running about 55 or 60 miles an hour.
And the engine just stopped?
Hey, he just said, hey, I'm not going to do anything. And then it kicked on back in, and I'm going on. And then a week or so later, I'm in traffic, and I go to hit the accelerator, and it just dies. It says, no, well, you're not going anywhere. So, but the thing of it is, it fires right back up.
So when it stopped on the highway on you, did it feel like, you said it was like the Jake brake had been applied, but that wasn't true. It's just that the engine stopped.
Right.
It didn't feel like something had grabbed your rear bumper and was pulling you back.
Uh-huh.
It didn't feel like that. It's just the engine quit, and even though you stepped on the gas, did you try putting it in neutral to see if the engine had really stopped?
Well, actually, what it did is I just took my foot off the accelerator, and it kicked right back in.
Right.
So I went to get a diagnostic on it, and the guy was saying, well, maybe it's your transmission, or we need to check the whole car before we do a diagnostic. I said, wait, all you have to do is do a diagnostic and tell me what's wrong with the car.
Yeah, I doubt it's anything to do with the transmission. I mean, that
no,
may
it's
be
not the transmission. Not.
Yeah,
right.
So either you're losing fuel or you're losing spark, you know, in all likelihood. I mean, there are other things that could be going on, but...
Oh, okay.
How many miles on this car?
A million.
Yeah, you said a million. Actually, 235.
235. So it could be just about anything. Have you changed the air freshener lately?
Oh, yes.
So here's what you need to do. Do you have any diagnostic equipment of your own?
No, I do not.
Okay, so you need to find someone who's willing maybe to lend you some stuff. Do you have a regular repair shop you go to?
My buddy that is a good mechanic, but he doesn't have all the tools.
All right, this is a perfect opportunity to go out and buy yourself a fuel pressure gauge.
Yeah.
Because what you need to determine is if the problem is a fuel problem or an electrical. Those are the two most likely things.
Right, exactly so.
So what you'd like to do is if you can predict, you know, with some kind of certainty that this is going to happen in the span of, say, the next couple of days, uh-huh, you're going to hook up a fuel pressure tester to it,
right,
and leave the gauge, like, stuck under one of the windshield wipers. That's what we do. Under one of the wiper blades, and we even maybe even duct tape it to the windshield so it doesn't blow off. And then you drive the thing. And at the point at which it begins to conk out, you look at the fuel pressure. If the fuel pressure is the same as it had been when it was running, then it ain't that.
It's not that, right?
It's not that, and it's likely that it's part of the ignition system. Then you have to try to the best thing you can hope for, Jimmy, is that this thing dies and leaves you stranded someplace in the middle of rural Indiana.
Isn't that a great thing to hope for?
And you hope you don't get eaten by wolves.
Well, walking is no fun, and it's too big to push.
That's exactly. So, I mean, the best thing that could happen is that it breaks down and leaves you stranded. Because when it stays in failure mode, then you can figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, that's why I keep all my cars in failure mode all the time.
Of course you do. But, you know, but it could be something as simple as a faulty crank sensor.
Okay.
Or it could be a faulty ignition coil. There are lots of things it could be. It could even be in the computer. Maybe the injectors are shutting down. But you're not going to figure this out unless you can divide and conquer. So let's eliminate the fuel system problem first. So you can go and buy yourself a fuel pressure tester.
Right.
Okay. And then when you determine that that's okay, you can go and start replacing electronic ignition components one at a time.
One at a time, right, until it stops.
But the most likely thing probably is the crank sensor.
Uh-huh.
You know, but you can take a stab at replacing that. But short of getting the thing to conk out on you, it's going to be tough to figure this out.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's got me baffled.
And I imagine your check engine light is not on.
Or not at the present, no.
But it has been on for years at a time?
Which years are you talking about?
Oh, man. Hey, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I mean, there may be other things that would turn the check engine light on, but I don't, you know, for example, a faulty crank sensor is not likely to turn it on. So especially if it's most of the time working. So you might want to take a shot at that.
Okay.
All right, good luck. And
all right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Call us the next time the wolves are circling the truck.
No, not a problem. I will.
All right. See you, Jimmy.
Thank you, gents. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin from California.
Hi, Erin. Just California, the whole state, how you move around?
I live in Berkeley, California.
Berkeley, okay.
Berkeley, that's a good place.
It's one of Tommy's favorite places.
Yes, it is.
There's many kindred spirits in Berkeley.
Yes, I do.
What's up, Erin?
Well, I have a 1994 Saab 900, and the passenger side bracket for the motor mount has just been replaced for the third time. And I got it less than a year ago, and my mechanic can't figure out why this bracket keeps breaking.
This is the upper mount.
God, where is it? I just helped him replace it. Actually, it was right by the wheel, right there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know. It's made out of aluminum.
Yeah.
And it's breaking. When was the accident?
I haven't been in an accident since I've had it.
Well, you should be.
I mean, I'm not out there rally driving or anything, I swear.
Yeah.
But you think there was an accident before you bought it?
I think there was an accident before you bought it, and I think there may be some stresses. So this mechanic that put this bracket in, is he the guy who was the previous owner?
No.
He's just a friend.
Yeah.
He's a special friend?
No.
just asking. It's not every day a mechanic just willingly installs a motor mount for somebody.
You are getting a little personal.
Well, I just...
It's none of your damn business.
I'm just asking, you know, trying to make the call a little more colorful. And I can tell I'm making Erin a little embarrassed here, but that's all right. So you and he together replaced this bracket this last time.
Yeah, this last time I just kind of held a flashlight and he was just showing me where it was and whatnot.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, held the flashlight. That's how it starts.
Okey-dokey.
Anyway, so you did this, and did he have any difficulty doing the job, or was it relatively straightforward?
No, it seemed pretty straightforward.
And he's done it before?
Yeah.
On your car?
Yeah, just about a year ago, he replaced all the motor mounts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, he's your regular mechanic, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Suspect a little sabotage here.
Oh, you think this?
I think so. He may be breaking those motor mount brackets. So Erin has to call him up and say, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
But as far as a technical explanation goes, it would suggest that maybe there are some stresses on this bracket that are the result of maybe some frame straightening that wasn't done quite to specification, so that when this thing is bolted in, there must be some stresses on it that aren't immediately obvious.
They're not supposed to be there.
They aren't supposed to be there, and because the aluminum is brittle, it breaks.
Right. So you think the frame is tweaked?
I think the frame is tweaked.
Yeah.
So you need, maybe you need to go, if you're planning to keep this car, and I'm trying to think of a real good reason why you'd want to, but if you're planning,
you might want to go to a dealership.
Yeah, and maybe a frame shop or someplace like that where they can look at this thing and say, oh, this is what needs to be done to fix this. But it may not be cheap.
Okay.
How much do these brackets cost?
Well, I got one for $25, and then they delivered it for $15.
And how long does it last? How did the last one last?
It was a few months. It was at least 3 months.
So $40.
Not good enough.
Well, no, not bad. Yeah. I mean, it might cost you $1,000 to get the frame straight. You can buy a lot of brackets, and you'll have forged a very strong relationship with your mechanic by then, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's what we think it is, and good luck, Aaron.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Let us know how things work out with John or whatever his name is. See you later.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave from Rockville.
Dave from Rockville, Maryland?
Yes.
Rockville, yeah.
I've got a 1997 Quest, and actually the problem is more not with the car, but with me. I've kind of getting up there in years, and I'm starting to lose my hearing. I'm wearing hearing aids now.
Uh-huh.
So I've gotten used, over the years, I've gotten used to listening to the, you know, the sounds that the car makes and recognizing when it's making an odd sound. And maybe even, I'm not a mechanic or anything, but trying to have maybe some sense of what might be wrong, you know, if it's a wear indicator on a brake or or if it's grinding, I know it's something really bad. But I'm kind of losing that ability. And so I've kind of told my wife recently that, you know, the car's making a weird sound, you know, you have to let me know and try to describe it to me. And that's where our problem is. I'm kind of, we have kind of a disconnect. She'll recognize it as a sound, but I won't be able to understand her imitation of it.
So you feel that you could drive safely, that you can hear ambulances and whatnot, but you just don't, you can't hear all these other sounds.
Certain things I can hear, If a fan belt is loose, you know, and it's making, and people within the block can hear it, I can hear that. Or sirens.
Medical science ought to develop. They have done so well with the hearing aid. How about the thinking aid? Don't even get my brother a couple of those in case one falls off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to say, Dave, this is fortuitous that you should call because you have to go to our website, to the Sounds Emporium.
Oh, really?
It's actually called the Car Noise Emporium.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can go,
really?
So your wife can go there.
Yeah.
And she can either listen and try to gain some kind of knowledge, you know, about what basic sounds are that could be leading to trouble.
Yeah.
Or she could, when she hears a sound, you know, she could then go to the website and say, oh, it sounds like this. It must be a bad wheel bearing, or it could be a wear indicator on the brakes, or a bad water pump, or a tensioner, or whatever, you know?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, and you could, now, the bigger problem, however, is to get her to actually listen. And most people have to have a sound that overwhelms the noise coming out of the radio.
Yeah.
So, I think part of what everyone needs to learn to do is to, once a week maybe, drive the car with the radio off.
Yeah.
And then at the very least, you'll have established a benchmark level of noise.
Yeah.
So if you drive the car week one and you say, okay, that's what it should sound like, or that's what it does sound like today, then week two you'd say, oh, it sounds different. It sounds louder or this or that. And then as week three and four go on and you try to ignore the noise, you will notice it getting louder and louder until finally you pay attention to it. So that's
or turn the radio up louder.
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
So tell her to check out our website.
Great.
All right,
and
Dave.
Good luck, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, we need to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have this week's brand-new puzzler.
Is this week's puzzler by any chance from your pharmacological etymology series?
No.
Your wandering waywardly in the wilderness series?
No.
Your This One'll Do, It's on Top of My Pile series.
Bingo! Actually, to get a little more specific, this week's puzzler is from my Out on a Limb series.
Your Out on a Limb series?
Yes, that's right. You'll see what that's all about in a second. And we'll be back with that puzzler and more phone calls in just a minute. So please stay tuned.
My first job, my quest, if you will, was to focus on this Regal Viper and Tracker on our latest excursion from Tacoma to Dakota via Montana. So So far as I could tell, this swift little trooper's expedition had left a Tahoe of maxima heartache from Park Avenue to Silverado. Her name was Savannah Isuzu. And I was bently on finding her, no matter how Ferrari I Honda go to do it. Besides, this little venture was my passport to the Ultima Golf Odyssey. And I wasn't about to pass that up. I finally saw her in a rundown bar in Surrey. Seducing her was integral to my plan. So not wanting to appear cheap, I ordered some Lamborghini and sat her next to her.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Aw, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I said was from my Out on a Limb series. And and you'll know what I mean by that in a second. I've done puzzles like this in the past where I've suggested there's only one answer two answers.
Been wrong every time.
Well, I'm doing it again.
Well,
and this was inspired by a fellow named Bill, actually sent in by a fellow named Bill Letelpo. And you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pay attention.
Go ahead.
Now, most motor vehicles sold in this country have both a manufacturer's name and a model name, like Chevrolet, Malibu, Toyota Corolla, where Chevrolet is the manufacturer and Malibu is the model. Toyota is the manufacturer. Yeah. You got it, right?
Sure.
Okay. Some manufacturers like BMW and Mercedes and Audi, to name a couple, don't think enough of their cars to actually give them model names. And you use a bunch of numbers and letters instead. But I digress. Let's go back to the Puzzler.
Yeah.
Let's take one of those motor vehicles that has an actual model name, okay, and is currently being sold in the United States. It could be a car, a truck, an SUV. It doesn't matter. But it's a model that's currently sold in the United States.
Yeah.
You ready? Take that model name, okay?
Yeah.
Remove the last letter.
Yeah.
And the remaining letters, without altering the order, spell a new word.
The model name.
Model name. Like, for example, Malibu.
Yeah.
Take off the last letter, you got Malib.
No good.
No good, okay?
Yeah.
Now remove the new last letter.
Yeah.
Okay, because you have a new word with a new last letter.
Yeah.
Remove that, and you have yet another new word.
Wow.
Do it again. You have now another new word.
Yeah.
Do it once more, and you have another new word. So you'll have done it
really
four times.
And had four different words.
All of which you can find in the dictionary. They're all English words.
So we know Malibu's not going to work, although Malib, Mally, no.
Mal. Now, here's the last piece of it. Now put all the letters back. Go back to the original word and remove the first letter.
Wow.
And you have yet another new word.
Wow, that's good.
Okay.
I have to say, that's very good.
Now, if you think you know the answer, or answers, write it on the bottom of a John Deere 60-kilowatt quiet-run diesel generator with 3-liter 5030 HF engine, cast-iron crankcase, solid-state automatic voltage regulator, residential-grade muffler, 250-gallon sub-base fuel tank, auto start and automatic transfer switch, of course, and send it along with a set of baseball stadium lights for my backyard to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. 8255. We have a wrong answer waiting for you. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alejandro from Albany, New York.
Alejandro, how are you?
Doing all right.
What's going on?
So I've got this 1998 Nissan 200SX. Got about 92,000 miles on it.
Okay.
Recently, it started making a few noises that I'm not too happy about. The main one is when I am going down a hill and I step on the brake, I hear a sort of thumping sound,
mm-hmm.
and the thumping sound decelerates as the car decelerates. So it starts off real fast, like boom, 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 boom. And as the car slows down, it goes boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Okay, you hear that. Do you feel anything?
Oh, yeah. I feel it shaking big time behind the steering wheel.
Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about.
No, just pray a lot, but don't worry.
Don't worry. Yeah, you have a very, very warped, and my guess is rusted, maybe, disc rotor or two.
Oh, no.
That's what's causing the vibration, it's causing the thumping noise. And for it to make a thumping noise, it's going to really be warped, because what's happening is the warped part of that rotor is coming around and pushing, slamming the brake pads in the caliper bracket, and that's what you're feeling and hearing. You're hearing that thump, 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 and at high speed, it's pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to get that looked at ASAP.
Okay.
What you don't realize is that every day that you drive this, your stopping distance is increasing. So that if you were able to stop, you know, at from 80 miles an hour and 600 feet, it's now 700 feet. And pretty soon it's going to be 750, and you don't realize it.
And but then it's going to be like a mile.
Right. Right. In fact, you're going to have to put the brakes on before you start the car. Before you start moving steps. In fact, don't ever take your foot off the brake. So you need to get it fixed, because as your stopping distance increases, the risk you pose to everyone, including yourself, of course, is greater and greater every day.
Yeah. See, I'm at the point right now where I don't even know whether I should keep fixing the car or just, you know, upgrade to a new used car.
Well, you could do that, certainly, but if you have any hopes of selling this car, you can forget about that, because no one's going to buy it with this thumping noise. Here's what you do. Go to some place and get an estimate and find out. It may just be that you need pads and rotors on the front wheels. It might be all four, but go and get an estimate, and if it's prohibitively expensive and you decide you're not going to fix it, then at least you can sell it with a clear conscience. You can tell somebody, look, it needs X, Y, and Z, and it's going to cost $950. If you want the car, take it. Otherwise, you can send it to the crusher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what we're trying to get Tommy to do with four or five of his cars, but we're not having any luck. So
never been there yet.
So we have to do it when he's away on vacation. He comes back and says, well, what the hell happened to my cars? Anyway, good luck, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right, see you. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dawn, and I'm calling from Bemidji, Minnesota.
You know Dave from Bemidji?
Yeah.
Really?
You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Dave? The Dave from Bemidji was featured on one of our Best of Car Talk CDs of many years ago. And for those of you that don't know Dave, like Dawn knows Dave, I mean, Dave came off as a pretty quiet guy, you know. Hi, this is Dave from Bemidji. And he turned out to be one of the most entertaining callers that we've ever had. He was a riot.
Or ever will have.
So you got some big shoes to fill here, Dawn.
Okay. Well, I got a big van. About 2 months ago, we bought a 1984 VW Vanagon Westphalia.
Oh, and now I know you know Dave.
And it works great. We've put about 3,000 miles on it since we got it. And there's one problem. Sometimes it doesn't start. But other than that, it runs great.
Oh, good.
So what we discovered was if we hit the solenoid with what turns out to be a perfect-sized pinata bat through the back wheel well, we can get that baby going.
Right.
Well, that's fine and all, except that we're kind of scaring people when we stop at gas stations and I come rolling out of the back of the van with my 100-pound shepherd dog and a bat in my hand, and I'm scaring little old men and little old ladies at gas stations.
Yeah.
The other problem is that now it starts all the time.
When you hit it like this?
No, I don't have to hit it anymore.
Oh, perfect.
Well, in the meantime, we bought a new starter. Do we need the new starter?
Well, you will eventually need it. What's wrong is probably not the solenoid. I mean, you should, before you do anything, check to make sure that the connections at the starter are tight.
Oh.
You know, because if you did have a loose connection, jarring the starter might make you think that the starter was faulty, and the jarring of it was, you know, kind of waking it up into action.
Okay.
It might just be that there's a loose screw, so to speak.
Yeah. Well you know about that. So, but by hitting the starter, you're making the connection good.
Oh.
So that it would start until the next time when the connection got crummy and it didn't start.
Oh, okay.
I would keep the starter, because pretty soon they're going to start making that starter, and you'll be able to get $10,000 for it on eBay.
Yeah.
No, there is
dream on.
There is a chance that it's just serendipitous that it's been starting.
Oh,
and
hang on to it.
What usually happens with these starters is it isn't a solenoid, even though that's the thing you hit. What usually happens is there's a bad spot on the commutator. And by hitting the starter, you're just jarring it enough so that if there's a bad connection that where the brush hits the commutator, that it'll get it to start. And sometimes in the shop, we'll have to have somebody hold the key to the crank position while the other person wields the baseball bat.
That's what we've been doing.
Yeah, and sometimes a couple of good sharp blows with that baseball bat will get anything to start. So I wouldn't abandon the bat either. I'd keep the starter put it in the garage, but keep the bat in the car.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Dawn.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's ready to take that trip with Dave.
Oh, yeah.
I think Dave had pulled over. At one point, he told us that his catalytic converter had plugged up, and he pulled over to the side of the road and called his brother-in-law. He was on a trip back from Alaska. And he pulled over at some state park where they have those barbecue grills, you know, that they're designed for anyone to use.
That's right.
And he dismantled one and took a big piece of iron and stove a hole into his catalytic converter to let out the pressure. And he made it all the way back to Minnesota. What a guy. I'll tell you, if there were ever Armageddon, I'd want Dave on my team. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there, guys. This is Steve, and I'm calling from beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Steve, how are you, man?
I'm well, guys. How are you doing?
Great, great. I'm sure the weather is still wonderful in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, it's another beautiful day in paradise.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I recently purchased a 1992 Cadillac hearse.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. And I was driving it. I purchased it. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I flew out there to pick it up. And as I'm driving back cross-country, I stop to have lunch at a little rest area. And I'm sitting in the back compartment there with the door open, having my little sandwich and soda.
You didn't lie down, did you?
Well, we're getting there.
We're getting there, yeah.
We're getting there, yeah. So I'm sitting there, and people are kind of curious, walking around the car, you know, looking in or whatever. And so I just owned the car for like 2 hours, so I decided, let me go and see if these rollers and everything else work up inside this thing.
Yeah.
So I go up there, and I'm up there investigating up in the cabin area there, and the back door blew closed. Well, unbeknownst to me...
Oh, you can't get out.
Well, I couldn't get out. The hearse has no handles on the insides of the back doors.
Now, why wouldn't they have a handle? I mean, who would be back there that would want to get out? Except somebody that was trapped.
Everybody.
Maybe somebody that wasn't ready yet or something.
Maybe, exactly. Who knows?
Who knows? So
you're in the back and you can't get out.
I'm in the back. I can't get out, so I'm banging on the back window.
Scaring the hell out of everybody who walks by.
Absolutely.
Well, you're not kidding. Well, these people are walking by.
Yeah.
Especially this little family, these little kids.
Yeah.
And they're looking, pointing, and the father kind of shuffles them off. He comes over, opens up the door, and says, "What are you doing back there?" I said, "I was having my lunch." So my question to you is there an easy way I can put some type of exit mechanisms back there? So, because I plan to use this for, you know, partying, camping, and all the above.
Yeah. Well, geez.
I don't think we have a lot of experience with this vehicle.
Well, and you've probably never ridden in the back of one yet.
No, I've
only ridden in the front. So far, so good.
So there's obviously no way to get from the, quote, I would call it the passenger compartment, for lack of a better term, to where the driver sits.
It has the sliding windows, has the divider, but I don't fit through that thing.
You don't fit through that thing.
So are
you interested, Steve, in maintaining the integrity of the vehicle so that you could at some point in the future sell it without anyone thinking that you had monkeyed with it too much?
No. I just wanted to, the outside I want to keep pretty much stock.
Yeah.
That way cops kind of leave me alone. thinking I'm on, you know, working or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And otherwise, if I, you know, soup it up or trick it out or something, they're going to think, what the hell? You know, they're going to pull me over.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't paint the flames on the side. I mean, that'd be a dead giveaway.
I'm going to keep it as stock as possible.
Yes, under the radar, so to speak.
Under the radar, so to speak. Oh, and on the same trip back, I got pulled over for doing 77 and a 70. So I asked the cop.
He said, we're going to get this guy in the ground right away.
I said, the guy in the back, he can't be late for his own funeral.
So get back to your issue.
Yeah, my issue. I need to get out of the back of that thing.
Well, with the door open, if you open the back door,
yeah,
you can take off that inner door panel. You know, it's a piece of basically plastic, cardboard, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's kind of a felt thing. It's real, like, nice back there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is nice. It's probably some kind of tufted velvet or something.
Yeah, it is.
But once you've gotten all of that off, you'll have exposed the inner workings of the door and the latch.
Okay.
And it should be pretty obvious at that point how you can then open the door from the inside. Because all you've
got
to do is undo the latch, just like the handle on the outside does.
Right.
Unfortunately.
But don't experiment unless there's someone you know on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hot down here in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you get stuck in that thing, and they'll just drive you to the cemetery. But what you want to do then is, because you can't get that panel off with the door closed.
Definitely, I know that.
So you've got to open the door and make sure that you get that thing off, and then you might be able to, in fact, make a small hole.
Uh-huh.
Okay, in that inner panel that allows you to affix a handle.
All right.
You know, and it might be something, you might have to have somebody weld something to that latch mechanism so that you can put a little handle on it, and you could do something pretty stylish.
Oh, yeah. Sure, very stylish, of course.
Yeah, and then, you know, you could do magic tricks, lock yourself in the car. Anyway, good, Steve, I can tell you're the kind of guy who's going to have more fun with this thing than you should.
I already have.
You already have, and you've only had it a few days.
Exactly. Hey, if you guys ever need it, you know, you let me know.
We hope it's going to be a long time, but if we do, we'll call you.
I'll make the special trip.
See you, Steve.
All right, thanks an awful lot, guys.
Have fun.
Bye. Right, thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Marion Barbarian, and David Faster than a Speeding MBTA Bus Green. Our web blackie this week is Catherine Frau Blücher Fenolosa, who's covering for Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Marseille Pâté Soufflé Cheese Tray Satay Filet Milkway Parquet Frisé Sorbet Frappé Gamay Vouvray and Bengay Buffet Replay, it's John Pugsley Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. My brother's official co-pilot is Yvette DePants. Our PR specialist is Hugh Lionsack. Our pet shop inventory manager is Arthur Ketzenbach. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our sexual harassment counselor is Natasha Diaz. Our long-distance cycling enthusiast is Major Ashburn. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the tenure-track panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 941, waltz through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you might have missed Car Talk in the newspapers recently.
Is that little embezzlement issue thing?
No, no, shh.
What, was NPR advertising us free to a good home?
No. We've been featured in the funny pages.
Oh, as opposed to the funny-looking pages.
Yeah. A number of cartoonists over the years have referenced Car Talk, and we collected them all for your browsing pleasure.
So this is everything from the lowbrow, like the New Yorker,
yeah,
to the classy stuff like Zippy the Pinhead.
Exactly. Comic renditions of Car Talk on the homepage all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Buddhist llamas beg to be reincarnated as earless rocks whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR, National Public Radio.